And hello to all you Foxborough faithful, and welcome to your Wednesday edition of Locked On Patriots, your daily home for news, notes, analysis, and the occasional opinion on your six-time Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. Locked On Patriots, as always, is a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today's show is brought to you in part by Peloton, and Peloton is an immersive cardio experience with real-time features that will always keep you coming back. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKED to get started. I am your host, Mike DeBate. I cover the New England Patriots for fullpresscoverage.com, which is where you can always find my written work, and you can also reach out to me on Twitter at MDABATEFTC, and be sure to follow Locked On Patriots on Twitter at LO_Patriots. Now, usually today would be Crossover Wednesday, and some of you may be anticipating that. There was some minor scheduling conflicts this week, but this week's crossover with John Butchko of Locked On Jets will come your way tomorrow, folks, so keep a sharp eye out for that. On Crossover Thursday this week, should be a great time. Our crossover shows always are, and I look forward to sharing the mic with John tomorrow. Should be really, really fun. But fear not, we have a great show on tap for you today. As the Patriots set to battle the New York Jets on Sunday, I am honored to welcome in Joe Maniello of Newsday. We're going to talk a little bit about Eli Manning and his chances at the Hall of Fame, preview some Pats Jets, but in a unique segment here on Locked On, Joe is a picks guru, and he is going to lend some of his NFL game selection wisdom and counsel as we play a game of Pats Pick 6. So grab some coffee, stay tuned. This is going to be a fun one. However, before I proceed with that, I just want to take a minute to address all you guys out there, and you ladies will appreciate this too. Now, this is a topic that's often taboo, but always commands your attention, and that is performance in the bedroom. Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Well, now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as the competitors, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Sports fans love using the word explosive, and Blue Chew is certainly that and more. And it isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants an extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Blue Chew is prescribed online, shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so there's no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code MLB. Just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code MLB to try it for free. BlueChew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. My guest today is a talented NFL picks columnist for Newsday in the great city of New York, from the boroughs to the counties and beyond, and brings an unchallenged mastery of substance, wit, and puns. No, folks, my guest is not Ray Barone today, but I can make the case that he is much more entertaining and amusing. He is the architect of the NFL Gridiron Guide and Newsday's NFL Picks, and unlike George Costanza, I don't believe he's ever claimed to be a marine biologist, but it is my honor to welcome Newsday's Joe Maniello to the show. Joe, thank you for joining me today, and welcome to Locked On Patriots.
Thanks, Mike. That was quite an intro. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, anytime, my friend. Anytime. It's that time of year, and, you know, NFL news galore is the normal. And the big news yesterday came from Big Blue and Daniel Jones and the New York football Giants. I know that your area of expertise is definitely NFL picks, and we're going to have a fun segment to close this show today. But I just wanted to get your take on not only Daniel Jones's arising to become the quarterback of the New York Giants, but also there's been a lot of speculation, and I think it's really been a lot of career retrospect with regard to Eli Manning. And he's been relegated to the bench now. It looks like the twilight of his career is definitely staring him smack dab in the face. And everybody's been speculating on what exactly his career legacy will be. And believe it or not, there's actually a groundswell even here in New England where he broke the hearts of Pats fans not once but twice in the Super Bowl to make his case for the Hall of Fame. You're an expert at picking winners. So in your and you're in the hot seat, so I'm going to keep you on the hot seat right now. I will ask you, in your opinion, do you believe Eli Manning to be a Hall of Fame quarterback?
Definitely a Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, if you look at his regular season stats, then no. I mean, he's too erratic, but you have to factor in the two Super Bowls. I mean, that's what it's all about. Two rings, and he beat your beloved Patriots twice. One of those times was 18-0. So if you look at the big picture, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. He's only one of five quarterbacks to have two Super Bowl MVPs, and that speaks for itself. So I know he's had an erratic career up and down. His stats aren't the best, but those two rings, plus he was also an Ironman, 232 out of 233 games. I mean, complete package, he's definitely in. And I know there's a lot of bias against Eli because the last few years he hasn't been that great, but two rings against the Patriots, I mean, he's definitely getting in. The Football Hall of Fame is not as crazy as the Baseball Hall of Fame, so a lot of people get in, but I think Eli definitely deserves it. So what's your take on it?
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely agree with you. I submitted some content yesterday for fullpresscoverage.com and joined some of my fellow managing editors in thinking about what Eli's legacy would mean. And listen, up here in New England, there's definitely no love lost between Patriots fans and Eli Manning and the New York Giants. There's still that sting from losing the 18-0 season, which you did mention. Thanks again for mentioning that, by the way. No,
funny you said that. I actually picked the Giants that game. I wasn't writing the picks column then. Because if I had, I probably would have just retired right then. Because I picked them to win that game, but I didn't have it in the paper. But the defense had a big part. I'm sorry, I cut you off. The defense was a big reason they won that game. I mean, Justin Tuck or Strahan probably should have won the MVP, but they usually give it to a quarterback. But right. It wasn't like Eli played great in both those runs. He played amazing in that 2011 NFC Championship game at San Fran, that frozen game at Green Bay. I mean, he was a big reason they won. So to get two rings and to beat Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, how could he not be in the Hall of Fame with that resume?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I did give him the nod for a Hall of Fame nomination, and I think he absolutely deserves it. Look, you know, you mentioned the regular season stats being a little bit erratic, 116 and 116. He's got a .500 record as a starter. He puts him in, it puts him in the category of guys like Doug Williams and guys like Joe Namath who have, great careers, but they don't have a winning record as a starter and a Super Bowl winner. But to me, the measure of an NFL quarterback of whether or not they belong in the NFL or in the Hall of Fame or any really Hall of Famer is, were they the best in their position at any given moment that they were on the field and they were in their throngs of being able to play through a given season? And I think for those two postseason runs, Eli Manning can make the argument that he was the best quarterback in the league for those two, and that's saying something considering that one of those seasons was a record-setting season for Tom Brady in 2007 when the Patriots absolutely lit the offensive scoreboards on fire. So I do believe he's going to get in. I'm not necessarily convinced that it'll be a first ballot, but I do believe he will get in, and I believe he deserves to be there, and he's had a great career. And if this is indeed the end, which it also surprised me that a lot of writers and fans were sort of writing Eli's epitaph yesterday and saying that, well, this is it. This is finally it for him. It may not be. You never know. I mean, the Giants, I don't think they'll swing a trade, but you never know. That's a possibility. If Jones, for any reason, goes down with an injury, Eli will be back in there, I'm sure. So there's all different kinds of things that could end up progressing along here. But if, in fact, this is the end of his career and he ends it, if we were to end it today, I think he's a Hall of Famer, and I will think he'll be in there. So,
and one thing about his record. I'm sorry. 116 and 116, but the last 2 years they were 8-24, and he obviously has something to do with that. He hasn't played well, but they haven't really had a great team. Beckham was hurt for all of two seasons ago, basically missed the whole season. I think he got hurt in week five, and the offensive line was awful. So they didn't really put the best team around him. So his record took a hit the last 2 years being 8-24, so that's 16 games right there. So I think he's proven that he's better than a .500 quarterback.
Yeah, I completely agree, and especially you mentioned the offensive line. I mean, it really has been a collection of turnstiles, really, if you think about it, for a number of years, even though they've tried to insert pieces. A guy like Nate Solder, who we know up here very well in New England, has gone down to the Giants, played, you know, I would say pedestrian football. He's done a decent job, but he hasn't been the protector that everybody thought he was going to be, and it's just been a tough situation down in New York. So definitely we'll see what happens with Daniel Jones, and we will put Joe on the hot seat when it comes to this game in just a moment. But switching gears to the green side of the Meadowlands, and that means the Jets, who just happened to be coming to Foxborough on Sunday for an AFC East divisional matchup with the Pats. The Jets had a great deal of promise to start the season. Some have even suggested that they could be a playoff team. I was one of them. I didn't end up going that distance in my preseason pick, but I did say that the Jets could surprise people and sneak into the playoffs. But they have been decimated with injury. And I don't want you to put you on the hot seat just yet to give your official prediction, but I'm going to ask you to do that later in the show. But what are you looking for in Sunday's game between these two teams? Is this sort of brewing that there could be maybe a closer game than people are anticipating, or could this end up getting ugly pretty quickly?
This Sunday? That's going to be a bloodbath. Bloodbath. And the Jets have the third-string quarterback who was just signed up the practice squad before Monday night's game. I mean, they have the bye week in week four, and I wouldn't blame them if they asked the league if they can get a double bye, because I wouldn't want to go to New England. They won their first two games by 73 points. And we all know Belichick does not like the Jets. So if he didn't take his foot off the gas against Brian Flores, he's not going to not run up the score against the hated Jets. So I think this is going to be a big-time blowout. There's a reason why they're 22.5, 23-point favorites. And, you know, you got to feel for the Jets. Going into the season, like you, I had them at 9 wins, and I thought about taking them as a wild card. I even thought about every year when I do the over-under picks, and like the preseason division picks, I always kind of think, you know, can the Patriots be unseated? And I thought, you know, I like the Jets' moves with Le'Veon Bell and C.J. Mosley and Jameson Crowder and Greg Williams as defensive coordinator. I thought they could have a big year, but I'm glad I didn't pick them to make the playoffs, because they're looking at 0-6 with the tough schedule after this. They got the Pats Sunday and then the Pats again later on in the first 6 weeks, and then they play the Eagles and the Cowboys after the bye. So they're looking at 0-6, and I mean, it's a tough break. I mean, Sam Darnold has mono, of all things, mono. And then Mosley got hurt in week one, and they blew that game from 16-0. They lost 17-16. I mean, you got to feel bad for Jets fans. But this Sunday, if this game is close, I'd be shocked.
Yeah, I think Pats fans, and really I think all NFL fans alike, would join you in that sentiment. I really don't see this being a very close game unless the Patriots come in, are very overconfident and just, you know, really are not on their game at all, or just seemingly continuously have problems. I don't see this one being even close. But you did mention the outscoring, and the Patriots have been amazing on both sides of the football. They've been great on offense. They've been great on defense. You mentioned the 73-point margin, scoring 76 as opposed to their opponent's 3. That 3 points to me is extremely, extremely impressive when you consider that they have faced one of those offenses was, you know, Ben Roethlisberger and Juju Smith-Schuster and some guys that have been known to be able to put points on the board. So it really does look like a perfect storm for a very, very one-sided game on Sunday. But again, Joe, that's why they play the games on the field. They don't play them on paper. So we'll see what happens in New England on Sunday. But I probably would say that, judging from what you're giving, your recommendation is probably going to be don't put money on the Jets on Sunday. We'll see what happens. But again, today I am joined by Joe Maniello of Newsday, and as you all know, he is the pickmaster of your NFL weekend. And I said pick, not a scratch, because he's a Seinfeld fan just like I am, and I know he got that reference.
It was a pick. It was a pick.
It was a
scratch.
Pick.
It was a scratch. Right?
Yeah, it was a scratch. No pick. But we're going to play a little Pat's Pick 6 with Joe in just a moment. But before I do, I have a question for you. Yes, you, listening out there. And that question is there anything better than watching football? At the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off, and watch some football. Game-winning touchdowns on two-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing else like the NFL, folks, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. So do the smart thing. Go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and the better lines than any other sportsbook. Don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on, and MyBookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I play and where you should too. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings. And no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid with MyBookie. Once again, I have been speaking with Joe Maniello of Newsday, and we have talked a bit about Eli Manning and his chances at the Hall of Fame, as well as providing a preview, a little bit of a preview on Sunday's matchup in Foxborough. But now we get to have a little fun, and Joe's Newsday's NFL picks are a staple for anyone looking to get insight on the winners each and every week. So put him on the sort of hot seat. I'd say the warm seat earlier on in this episode, but his seat's about to get hotter here on Locked On Patriots, and we will ask him to lend his expertise to a six-pack of NFL games this weekend. And folks, they all have a Patriots connection, so these were chosen very carefully. But we also remind you that Joe's picks today are presented but not endorsed by the Locked On Podcast Network, but we give him this platform, and he's one of the best at doing it. So, Joe, are you ready to play some Pat's Pick Six?
Yes, can I say just one thing? I appreciate all the kind words, and I'm happy that I had one of my best weeks in a while. This past week, I went 10-6 against the spread, but I'm not. Last year, I didn't pick that well last year, so I wasn't an expert, and I was more like that Seinfeld episode when you go the opposite. You should have went against my picks last year and done a Costanza. I thought about doing that sometimes because he spreads every week. It's amazing how Vegas always sets the line. You never know. Like it's so tough to pick these games. But this week, actually, unlike last week when I thought there were some really hard spreads, I think there are a lot of favorable matchups this week where the spread probably won't even come into play because there's a lot of mismatches.
Absolutely. And you mentioned Costanza, and look at how well that worked out for him. He ended up getting a job with the Yankees and, you know, sitting there. And yeah, he ended up in a hot tub with George Steinbrenner at one point. I mean, how much better can you get than that? So we have a lot of faith in you, and I stand behind my endorsement of you, and that's it. And, you know, and I know our listeners will as well, especially when you pick the last game on our slate in this pick six. I think they're going to really love that one, to be honest with you.
And, not to upset your listeners, but my best pick in my 5 years of writing the column is the Eagles to beat the Patriots in a Super Bowl.
Now you mentioned 18-0. Now you went to the Eagles. That's it. All right, thank you, Joe. It's been a great show. No, I'm only kidding. No, actually, no. I mean, that does look like a smarter pick by the day. And you know,
although I did pick against them last year, and I paid for that. So,
well, see, there's the sweet revenge right there. But in any case, we started the show talking about the Giants and Eli Manning, and this is going to be Daniel Jones's debut. So actually, you know, it lends in quite nicely for our first leg of the pick six, and that is the Giants and Buccaneers in Tampa. So, Joe, will we be calling him Dr. Jones on Sunday, or do the Bucs have some pillaging and plundering to do down in Tampa this week?
I think the Giants are a live dog in this game. They're getting 6.5 points, so I love them getting the points. I'm actually picking them to actually win the game. I think the switch was a good move by Pat Shurmur. It's not about Eli. He shouldn't have even been brought back. $23 million contract after you pick the guy sixth in the draft. You need to see what you have, because if Eli plays most of the year and Jones plays 3-4 games, you don't know what you have for next year. Now he's going to play 14 games. You're going to know if he's your guy or not, and you can build with him, and hopefully he builds on a really strong preseason. And the Bucs, I mean, they had a nice win over Carolina on Thursday night, but I don't like them giving 6.5 points at home. They're an erratic team. Jameis Winston is so inconsistent. And the defense has played well, but I think the Giants will hang around. I think the key to this game is the Giants' offense to be on the field as much as possible, because that will keep their awful defense off the field. They've given up 63 points in the first two games, 9 touchdown drives, not getting it done. But maybe they'll respond. You know, they see Eli get benched. Maybe they'll be, you know, be motivated and play with some pride. I think it's going to be a close game down to the wire. I'm picking the Giants to win this game outright.
Yeah, I'm actually picking the Giants in this one as well. I think they're going to be able to go down there. I think they're going to be a part of, you know, I think they're really going to rally around Daniel Jones. And we saw him be impressive in the preseason. So I think he's got the stuff that it takes. You know, are the Giants a playoff team? Most likely not. But, I mean, at this point, you can never, ever negate that. New England, back in 2000, started 0-2, looked as low as they could possibly get when Drew Bledsoe went down, and a young third stringer came in named Tom Brady, and that was the end of things. So you never know. You never know what will go on. It's always a possibility. So I do like the Giants in this game as well. The next one on our pick six slate today is two teams that are considered primary threats in the AFC to unseat those defending champion Patriots. These two teams can put up points, folks. We've seen them do it over the course of the last couple of weeks. This one should be an amazing contest. Baltimore Ravens, Kansas City Chiefs from Arrowhead. How you doing on this one, Paisan?
This is great. This is the game of the week, in my opinion. They played last year, week 14. Chiefs won 27-24 in overtime, only after Patrick Mahomes had that crazy 4th-and-9 completion in regulation. And the Ravens outplayed them that game. And Lamar Jackson looks more like a passing quarterback this year, so I think he'll have some success against the Chiefs' defense. I think the Ravens are getting 6.5, so I'm definitely taking the points. If you're picking it straight up, I'll lean with the Chiefs. It's their home opener. They have Mahomes, and I think he'll do enough to win, but I think it's a field goal game. And John Harbaugh's teams, they always come to play, and they have a strong defense, and I think Lamar Jackson is definitely going to have success moving the ball. So I think it'll be a close game, maybe the same score, 27-24. So Ravens cover, but Chiefs win.
Yeah, I completely agree with you as well. I have the Chiefs outright in this one as well. I do believe that this is going to be a much closer game than people are anticipating. They're looking at the fact that this is the home opener for Mahomes and the Chiefs and coming in set for a bash. But this Baltimore defense is going to be capable of giving them some looks that I think might give them some fits on Sunday. So I still like the Chiefs to win this one, but I do like the Ravens to give them all they can handle in Kansas City. And I agree with you. This is going to be the game of the week without question. So we go from one Paisan, you, my friend, to another, and that is Patriots' old friend Jimmy Garoppolo, who has the San Francisco 49ers out to a great start. They take on Mason Rudolph and the Steelers minus Ben Roethlisberger. Joe, what's your take on this one from San Francisco?
This is an intriguing matchup with Mason Rudolph getting the start. Steelers are 0-2, desperate team. 49ers are 2-0, both road wins, but at Tampa Bay, they got two pick sixes to win that game by 14, and they crushed the Bengals, who I thought would play better after almost beating Seattle. So I think the Niners will win their home opener, but I think the Steelers are a live underdog. They're getting almost 7 points, 6.5 points. The game opened as a pick'em with the Roethlisberger in, and basically went up almost a full touchdown without him. So I think that's too many points. I think I don't think the Niners are ready yet to just blow out teams. I mean, they did crush the Bengals, but the Bengals are a bottom team. And I think the Steelers, you know, they don't have Brown and Bell anymore, and Connor's banged up too, and obviously they don't have Roethlisberger. But Mason Rudolph, I mean, he looked pretty well in relief, and they added Minka Fitzpatrick, safety from the Dolphins. And I just like taking desperate teams in these spots, 0-2. You know, you can't go 0-3, especially if the Ravens win, you know, they'll have a three-game lead. So I just like the Steelers to show up. I'll pick the Niners to win, but I love getting the 6.5 points from the Steelers, so give me the Steelers with the points.
Yeah, I think the Steelers take the points as well. I do agree. I think the 49ers will end up winning this game because it is the home opener. Jimmy looked very solid last week against the Cincinnati Bengals. But again, this is a desperate team, and you have nothing. When you have nothing to lose, you have nothing to fear, essentially. So I think the Steelers will make this closer than a lot of people think. I think Rudolph will be able to come in and navigate this offense, even if it's only for a couple of weeks at first until teams start to catch on to him. I think the Steelers will be very highly motivated to play well in this one. So again, I think it's going to be a close game, too. From the team that the Pats defeated in Super Bowl 53 to the team that many a preseason prognostication dubbed the next big thing in the NFL, Los Angeles Rams and the Cleveland Browns hook up in Cleveland. What can we expect when these two teams hit the field on Sunday?
I'm actually one of those guys who did take the Browns. I took them to win the Super Bowl, which I'm semi-regretting right now because they haven't looked that great, but it's early. So I just love their roster going into the year, and I like Baker Mayfield, and I love the addition of Beckham, and they have a ton of playmakers on defense too, but they looked awful in the opener. They lost at home by 30, and even though they beat the Jets, they didn't look that great. I mean, they won by 20, but it was a sloppy game, and they had that big touchdown to Beckham. So I think this is a tough matchup for them. The Rams are probably one of the best coached teams in the NFL after the Patriots. The Rams are 14-3 in road games under Sean McVay, and they travel well, and Jared Goff throws a great deep ball. I don't know if you saw, he had a beautiful pass last week, and they have Cooper Kupp, and they got a ton of weapons. They got Aaron Donald. I just don't see the Browns' offensive line stopping the Rams' pass rush, and like I said, McVay, he's just such a great coach, and I think the Rams will win this one by a touchdown. Win and cover. Yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, we agree again. It's got to be an Italian thing, I swear. But, you know, I swear to God, we didn't coordinate these beforehand, folks. We really, really are in agreement on this. I have the Rams by a touchdown in this one as well. I just think that offensively, defensively, the Rams bring a complete package to this, and I think Sean McVay will be able to devise a game plan that will put the Rams in the best light possible to be able to win this, even though they're going into Cleveland. The crowd's going to be pumped up for this one. Rams obviously coming off of a Super Bowl berth, so it's going to be a big game for them in Cleveland, a big prove-it game, but I do think the Rams come out on top. And in his best bet, former Pats quarterback Jacoby Brissett leads the Indianapolis Colts against the Atlanta Falcons. And it would be ungentlemanly of me to make a crack about 28-3, so I'm not going to do that. But, Joe, I leave it to you. Who should we like in this one in your best bet for the week?
It's funny you brought up 28-3. I took the Falcons. Before the playoffs started that year, I had the Falcons over the Patriots in the Super Bowl. And when they were up 28-3, even when they were starting to blow it, I wasn't even thinking about them not covering because I was like, there's no way they're going to lose. And to this day, even though they lost, to me, it's still the right pick. I mean, it's not my fault that Dan Quinn and Kyle Shanahan didn't know how to, you know, run the ball three times when the game would have been over after that Julio Jones catch. So I'm still bitter about that loss. So but as far
well,
as this game,
I assure you, New England fans are still celebrating it up here. 28-3 flags are all over the place around Southern New England.
Yeah, no, I make fun. I have fun with it on Twitter too all the time. I mean, 28-3, it's still unbelievable that they lost that game.
It really truly is.
Yeah, this pick is more about the Colts. This is their home opener. The first game there since late August in the final preseason game when Andrew Luck got booed off the field when the retirement news broke. The Colts were a really good home team last year. Brissett has looked pretty good. I mean, they probably should have beaten the Chargers on the road. Vinatieri missed two field goals and extra point. They lost in overtime. And last week they had a nice win at Tennessee, which was coming off a big win at Cleveland. And I just like Frank Reich. I think he's a really good coach, and they have an amazing offensive line. I think they're just going to pound the ball similar to the way Minnesota did in week one against Atlanta. They ran for almost 200 yards. I think the Colts are just going to control this game from the start, pound it with Marlon Mack, and I like them a lot to win this game.
Yeah, I do as well. And again, like I said, folks, I mean, we really are sharing half of the same brain here, but I assure you, it's all on the level. And it's tough for me to pick against Jacoby Brissett in this situation. There's a part of Patriots fans that really want to see him succeed despite the rivalry that's back and forth between the Colts and the Patriots. I think there's definitely a level of respect and still a level of like there for Jacoby. So I think he'll have a big game. I do like Marlon Mack running the ball in this game. And I have the Indianapolis Colts winning this one as well. So that's
fine. One more thing on that game. It's only like a 1.5-2 point spread, so it's basically a pick 'em. I think that spread is a little. I think that spread is, you know, the guys in Vegas know more than me, but I think that spread is might be a point or two off because the Falcons had a nice win Sunday night against the Eagles, who a lot of public bettors, you know, are big on the Eagles. So they see that, oh, the Falcons beat the Eagles. Like, oh, wow, the Falcons are really good. I think the Falcons, I did pick them to win the division, and I think they are a good team. But Matt Ryan has looked shaky, 5 interceptions to start off with, and that defense, I don't see them stopping a run. So I think it's a tough matchup for them.
Yeah, I agree with you on both counts. I think Ryan is definitely a good quarterback, but he's going to have to right that ship pretty soon because 5 interceptions to start the season is a tough hole, and if that trend continues, it could be difficult times in Atlanta. If he's able to straighten out, then I do like the Atlanta Falcons to make a deep push for a playoff spot. And that's 5 in the books, folks. And as you can probably guess, the best bet would usually be his last, but because it's all about Pats Jets this week, we are saving that one for last. So, Joe, we end our Pats Pick 6 with your take on the Patriots and the Jets, 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 Jets. What can we expect other than a bloodbath?
I guess we're going to be 6-for-6. I mean, Patriots are obviously going to win the game, but here the interesting part is the spread. As of right now, in some spots, the Patriots are favored by 23.5 or 22.5, I think.
Yeah, so 22.5 this morning, I think, yeah.
It's crazy. But I saw a report on ESPN that this is the first time since the 1987 strike season that there have been two underdogs of at least 20 points in the same week. And the fact that it's week 3 is alarming because, you know, you would think maybe end of the year, injuries, teams out of it. But week three is like crazy to me. But I think the Pats are one of the easiest bets of the week. I mean, in their last three home games against the Jets, they've won 38-3, 26-6, and 41-3. Like we said earlier, they've won their first two games by 73 points. So I just can't see them not winning this game by 30. I mean, the Jets have their third-string quarterback, tons of injuries, and it's going to be over by halftime. I mean, this is – I feel bad for Adam Gase. This is a tough one. And it's a funny thing. He's played them well when he was with Miami. He had success against the Pats, but this is going to be a tough one.
Yeah, I think that with regard to the points, I'm still a little bit on the fence on this, and I'm still going back and forth. I mean, obviously, I'm picking the Patriots to win this game without any question. I think they may end up
lay the points. Lay the points.
Yeah, I think. And my good friend Thomas Murphy was on the show yesterday, and he said that he had called his broker to invest in body bags for this one. So we have him investing in body bags. We have you calling it a bloodbath. I join John Butchko tomorrow on Locked On Jets. I can only imagine what he's going to refer to this as, but we'll definitely have some. And Halloween's approaching, so I think all these terms.
Hello. Hello?
Joe, thank you so much for joining me today. I had a great time, and this was fun, and I look forward to having you back on the show soon. Before I do let you go today, can you please let our listeners know where they can find your great work and where they can find you on social media as well?
Oh, thank you. Newsday.com/sports and JOE_Maniello, MANNIELLO on Twitter. I thought I just lost you there for a second. Sorry. But I'll call it 38-3 is the final on Sunday in Foxborough, and that might be giving the Jets too much credit.
So he's giving the Jets a field goal, so you're telling me there's a chance. Well, in any case, you know, definitely take those, you know, for what you will, folks. Joe is someone I have a lot of confidence in. He does a lot of research, a great, great column. I recommend it. Again, newsday.com. Definitely check him out on Twitter as well. You can find him battling on Twitter or agreeing with me on Twitter a lot when it comes to late, early 90s sitcoms, TV shows. We go back and forth a lot, along with our mutual friend and my boss with FullPressCoverage.com, Ian Glendon. We have a lot of fun on Twitter, so definitely be sure to follow us. So, Joe, thanks again for coming on. I wish you a great day and a great week, my friend. It really was a pleasure.
Mike, thanks. It was a lot of fun. This is the better contest than Seinfeld. It was a lot of fun. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. No, definitely. And we got to have another one of those. That Seinfeld Twitter contest is still epic, and I still talk about it to this day. But as for me, I will be back tomorrow with Crossover Thursday and the host of Locked On Jets, John Butchko. We will tell you what to watch for in Sunday's matchup in Foxborough between the Patriots and the Jets. So keep a sharp eye out for that. As always, make sure to join me each and every day on the Locked On Patriots podcast and subscribe to Locked On Patriots via your favorite podcast provider. Once again, I'm Mike DeBate. I thank you so much for listening today. Have a great day, everybody.